you have your Bible with you, turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. This is what I read for our call to worship this morning. So if you got to jump up and grab that, go for it. We're just going to walk through this a verse at a time here this morning, and we're going to see what it has to say to us. So Psalm 63. And as we start into this together, you see the heading written above verse 1, a Psalm of David. Now, it's important to remember that these headers, while the chapter numbers and verse numbers are not part of the original text, those headers are. So there's something important there. A Psalm of David. This is King David. This is the Goliath killer David. This is the shepherd boy turned king, David. And he says, this is a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. When he was in the wilderness. When I was 13, my parents took our family on a trip to Montana, and we went horseback riding in the Bob Marshall Wilderness for a couple days. And it was 11 miles of riding horse to get up into the mountains to our camp. And if you've ever been in a wilderness at night, you don't know the term dark until you've been in a wilderness at night. It is a darkness that you can feel, and you can hear sounds that you've never heard before, and you don't know what you are listening to. It is a lonely place. You have to carry in all of the supplies and the food that you need. If you forgot it, too bad. If you run out of things, there's nowhere to buy more. Now, there were a couple of times where I was pretty sure we were being watched by bears or mountain lions or something. It feels like there's something watching you all the time. Now, that's not the same wilderness that David is speaking of here, because he's in the Middle East. So his wilderness is dry and it's dusty and there's rocks and it's totally different. But I feel like this is an appropriate psalm for us in this time that we're in, this season, which may feel like a wilderness to you. And maybe the coronavirus isn't even the wilderness that is the worst to you right now. Maybe it's something in your marriage or your family that feels more like a wilderness. And maybe it's amplified now because you're in the house. You know, especially in America, we get used to being busy. And so maybe there's a relationship that you have that it used to thrive because you were busy. But now that you're forced to be together, there's been some tension, and maybe the fangs have come out a time or two. Or seven, because of being together. Maybe your job situation feels like a wilderness right now because maybe you've got to work from home, or you can't go in as much as you could before, or things have just changed. And so all of us can relate to the wilderness experience one way or another. And right now it seems like we are in a season of lament. Now, that's a word we don't use a whole lot at River City, but the word means to mourn or to grieve. It's lamenting the loss of life as we knew it, loss of normal, right? For some, maybe it's the loss of a job or income or just the fact that we can't gather together. We can mourn that. That's part of lamenting, that we have to come together on a computer screen. For some of you, I know you are lamenting the fact that you can't hug somebody this morning, right? Or give a high five or a handshake. I don't know if you participated in Lent this year, but except for the extreme introvert, I doubt anyone wanted to give up physical contact for Lent or give up personal relationships for Lent. But we've kind of been forced into that. And this fits the story of God so well, because as we go through this, we lament the fact that the world is broken, that it's not as it should be, that things are not the way we want them to be. There's disease and there's pain and there's sorrow in the world. And so David is here in this wilderness, and he's got some trouble. And so we're going to look at where he goes for relief when he has trouble. So verse 1 of chapter 63, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry and desolate and without water. You can see him describing the wilderness there, dry and desolate and without water. So it's this language of he's longing for something. He wants things to change. He's eagerly seeking. So we're in a season of lament right now where we mourn that things aren't as we want them to be, but we're also in a season of longing. We're longing for things to get back to normal, longing to be with friends again, longing to go out to eat or to sit down for coffee with somebody, longing to not have to worry about anything anymore. But read verse 1 again. What would you say that David's number one concern is in the middle of the wilderness? He wants God. That's his number one concern. He's not asking for water. He's not asking for a cool breeze to blow and make things feel better. He's not asking for companionship. He's asking for God. God, I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. Well, when you're thirsty, where do you go? You go to the kitchen, you get a cup, you go to the tap or your fridge, and you get something to drink, right? And next time you're thirsty, you do the same thing. You go right back to the kitchen, you go right back to the fridge, you go right back to the tap. And David goes right back to where he knows God has met his thirst before. In verse 2, he said, "So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and glory." Now, he's talking about the place of worship when he thinks about the sanctuary. It's the temple where God's presence lives with his people. And David is going back there, and he begins to recall who God is. Now, he's still in the wilderness, so he's going back in his mind. He's remembering. He's picturing being in worship with people. And so he says in verse 3, "My lips will glorify you." He's picturing God's strength and his glory. "My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life." David is either speaking out loud or singing songs of God's goodness and his faithfulness. The word that we're looking at here that says faithful love is better than life is the word that we use for grace and mercy. So he's remembering that God is merciful, that he is gracious. And we maybe think that life is really messed up right now, but God's grace is where true living begins, and that's not messed up at all. Your faithful love is better than life. "My lips will glorify you instead of complaining about the wilderness. My lips will bless you as long as I live, instead of whining about the desert that I'm in," which comes a lot more naturally, right? Verse 5, "You satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips." So when David remembers where he's met God before, and he thinks about who God is, God meets him in that moment, and he says, "You satisfy me as if I've just eaten great food, with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips." So God hears him and responds. David recalls God's faithfulness and his strength. I thought this was interesting. The word strength, back up in verse 2, "I gaze on you to see your strength and your glory." The word strength means stubbornness. Isn't that cool? We often think of stubbornness as a negative, but here it's a positive. God is stubbornly refusing to abandon his people. God stubbornly refuses to forget about us in the middle of our trouble. God stubbornly is working out his plan for all of human history, regardless of what opposition he might face, and regardless of whether we walk with him perfectly or not, which we don't. But the more David considers God, the more satisfied he is, because he finds that God is meeting him in the wilderness. But we're all human. All of us on this call are human. And remembering who God is doesn't necessarily make the desert less hot, right? It doesn't necessarily make the desert less troublesome. In fact, David seems to admit some anxiety here. Verse 6. When I think of you as I lie on my bed, I meditate on you during the night watches, because you are my helper. And I'll confess, there were some sleepless nights this week, just trying to think about how do we meet together? How do we make this gathering meaningful? How do we make sure that nobody gets left behind during this time that we're apart? There was a lot of nights I laid awake with my mind just racing of how we're going to get through this time. But David is here. He's presumably lying awake, a little bit anxious about things, but he doesn't try, unlike me, he doesn't try to distract himself with Netflix or scrolling Facebook, right? What he does is he remembers again who God is. And he says, I think of you as I lie on my bed. Again, he's remembering who God is. I meditate on you. The word meditate, this is interesting too. It means growl, right? That's kind of, it's kind of weird, but if you think, what it is when you're thinking about something and all of a sudden it clicks in your head, you go, oh, right? It's not a growl, but it's kind of like one. It's the muttering to yourself of thinking out loud of, oh, I get it. And that's what David's doing as he's laying awake. He's thinking and he's processing and, oh, okay, he's starting to get it. And while he's considering God's faithfulness and his goodness, word pictures start to come to mind for him. And he pictures in verse 7, I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings. And I think what he's picturing here is, if you can imagine, if you've ever been camping, and you know, it's late at night and you got your fire burning, and on the just outside of the ring of light that your fire produces is pitch black darkness, right? And as he's sitting there, I'm guessing there's some, he's on the night watch. So he's the security man for the night. And as he's watching, there's some fear. There's some, I don't know what's out there. I don't know who's watching me right now. But he imagines that the darkness that he sees is because God is like a hen who has spread her wings over her chicks and pulled them into herself. So he's picturing God as this mother hen protecting her young. And he's thinking, okay, well, the reason it's dark is because God's wings are surrounding me. He's over me. He's my protection and my safety. I think that's really neat. I love that word picture. There's another word picture that he goes to in verse 8, where he says, I follow close to you, and your right hand holds on to me. And so here's a part where if you have the chat box up on your screen, I want to know what word picture comes to mind for you when he talks about the Lord as a mother hen protecting her chicks. And now here in verse 8, I follow close to you, your right hand holds on to me. What comes to mind for you when you read that verse? What word picture comes to mind? Put it in the chat, and we'll read some of those here in a second. I'll tell you what comes to mind for me. I remember teaching my kids how to ride a bike. And as they're going down the driveway, you know, you're kind of walking fast, half running to keep up with them. And my hand, you know, so I'm with them, but my hand is on the handlebar, or my hand is on the seat, the back of the seat, trying to keep them from falling as they're zooming around. And I kind of picture that when he says, I follow close to you, your right hand holds on to me. I kind of picture that father who's right there with their child. Anyways, let's see what some of you are putting here for that. Yeah, father and child. A mother holding a child as she works. Yeah, that's good. Our daughter's holding our hand as they learn to walk. Someone is drowning and his hand pulls me out of the water. That's good. Literally, God holding my hand. Father protecting children. Yeah, good stuff. That's what David is processing. He's thinking about God in terms of pictures that he's familiar with. But look how close God is. Isn't this interesting that in verse 1, he says, I eagerly seek you. That's this, you know, you're out there somewhere, and I'm not necessarily sure where. I'm eagerly seeking to find you. And as he's been thinking about God's nature and who he is, oh, now he's worked it to where God is as close to him as a father or a mother holding their child. That's what worship does. That's what he's doing, is recalling God's goodness and faithfulness. His situation hasn't changed. He's still in the wilderness. But the more he worships God, the closer God feels. Now, what's the value of David thinking about God this way? Is it helps him look at the wilderness from a different perspective. Helps him look at the wilderness from the perspective of who God is. And that's a beautiful thing. Well, as we go through this wilderness that we are all in here for the next couple weeks, we have some options. Our one option is we can lay in front of the TV every day, continue to be fed by the news cycles over and over, or we can binge through Netflix or YouTube. But our other option is we can draw near to God, and we can worship him, and we can meditate and think about who he is and what his character is like and what his nature is like. And I really believe that if we want to experience the closeness of the Lord the way David is experiencing the closeness of the Lord here, we can't experience God holding our hand when the remote is holding our hand. Right? We've got to use this time to remember who God is and to worship our way through this wilderness and view it in light of who God is and what he's doing. So I want to encourage you over these next couple of weeks, take the time that you have. One of the things we used to say...
can you still hear me?
Yeah? Okay. One of the things that we used to all say when somebody asked how we're doing is we would say, we're so busy. We're just busy all the time, busy with kids going to sports and busy with this or that. A lot of that has been stripped away. And now we have time that we didn't have before. So I want to encourage you, read the word, pray, write a journal or something, reach out to somebody to let them know that you're thinking of them, or pray for your neighbors. Those kinds of things. Let's not waste this time that we have. In some ways, it's been a gift. But let's close this out. Verse 9 and 10. After David's recalling all of these things about who God is, he says, but those who intend to destroy my life will go into the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the power of the sword. David's remembering that one day, all the things that he's afraid of right now, the things that keep him up at night, will be gone for good. He remembers that one day all the wrongs will be made right, that viruses will be no more, that cancer will be no more, that sorrow and suffering will be no more. And the things that are our current concerns today will not be on our minds at all. And verse 11, he says, but the king will rejoice in God. He's speaking of himself as king. The king will rejoice in God. All who swear by him will boast, or the mouths of liars will be shut. I love that. Those voices, that's a good truth for us today. That the voices that of fear that are speaking into our heads these days will one day be shut. There will be no more of that. One day we will be at perfect peace because God will be near enough to hold all of us by the hand at the same time. And the things that we're lamenting today and the things that we're longing for today will not even be thoughts in our minds because of the blazing glory and presence of Jesus. Because Jesus was the better David that endured the wilderness for us. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. He took on our sins and sorrows, and he lamented and longed with us. He cried at the loss of his friends. He was angered by the sorrow that sin brought to humanity. Jesus is the one who, as he was coming into Jerusalem the week before his crucifixion, he looked at the city and he wept for the city. And he said this, "How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing." And even though we have seasons of hardship and trials of seeking God, being thirsty for him, Jesus is the one who called out from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And he said that so that when we're cooped up in our homes, when we're going through whatever wilderness we are going through, whether we're sick or we're out of work or we're wondering how we're going to make ends meet, the one thing we can be confident of, the one thing that can never be taken from us, is that God walks with us in the wilderness and is closer than ever. So finally, this, whatever wilderness you are in right now, whether it's something with the virus or it's something else, we all think that we're longing for things to get back to normal. But consciously or unconsciously, what we are longing for is actually heaven. We're longing for heaven. It's built into us. That's how we've been designed. We're longing to live in a place where there's no disease, where there's no fear, where there's no sorrow, no frustration. We're longing for perfect relationships. We're longing for fulfillment, to have the thirst in our lives satisfied. And what we're longing for is not that things go back to 3 months ago when we were fine and the economy was great and everybody was buying things and working hard. That's not what we're longing for. We're longing for heaven, where things are perfect, where things are the way they're meant to be, where our deepest needs are met in Christ, not in a better economy, where deepest needs are met in Christ. And thanks to Jesus, thanks to God raising him from the dead, we know that that will happen and that that is possible. So one day, things will not be back to normal. Things will be better than ever because of what Christ has done. Let me pray for us. And then we will, I'll have announcement yet, and then we'll wrap up. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the technology to do this. Lord, thank you for making a way for us. And Lord, thank you too for the Psalms that speak a lot of sorrow and lament and sadness, Lord, but at the same time, they also speak of a great hope that we have in you and in your son, Jesus. And I thank you for Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. It proves that what we go through in this life is not all there is, that there is more to come, and it will be a wonderful place, not because of streets of gold or not because we have everything we want, but because our deepest longings will be fully satisfied in the person of Jesus. And so, Lord, we feel it now more than ever, perhaps, as a lot of things that are normal to us have been stripped away, Lord. I pray that as we look forward to that day, God, would you give us peace? Would you help us to remember that you are with us in the wilderness, no matter what that is? So we look to you today. We love you. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Well, hey, thanks for joining in here today. As we wrap this up, I'm going to leave the call on for a little while, and you can head to the chat section. And I would really encourage you, down in the chat bar, instead of sending to everybody, pick one or two people, send them an encouraging message on there, just that you're praying for them, say hi, whatever, whatever you want to do, and then you can leave the meeting whenever you want. Lastly, if you have prayer requests, or you have something that you need help with in this time, we're going to be using our Facebook group, okay, for prayer requests, for if somebody needs help, or even if you have pictures of stuff that you're doing while you're ways that you're spending your time playing games with your kids or crafting or whatever, go to our Facebook group, which is to go on Facebook in your groups, find the groups button and search for River City Church. You'll see our Story of God logo on there, and you'll just request to join it. And that's where we will have prayer requests and things like that. Okay? All good? All right. Thanks again for jumping in today. Say something nice to somebody, and then have a great rest of your Sunday.